Hey everybody, welcome back to Explain Like I'm 5, the podcast where we take the questions you always wanted to ask and talk about them in a way that's easy to understand. We are your hosts. I'm Tim.
And I'm Kevin.
So Kevin, today we're talking about something which you may have seen in the store and our 5-year-olds may even be wearing in some situations, and that is Gore-Tex. What is it? And why is Gore-Tex so special? Aren't there other materials out there that are just as waterproof?
So Gore-Tex is actually really special. It's special because it can repel liquid water while allowing water vapor to still pass through it. And it's just generally designed to be a lightweight and waterproof fabric for all weather use. It is composed of stretched polytetrafluoroethylene, or shortened to PTFE. So it's kind of known as EPTFE, or kind of like this expanded PTFE.
Where have I heard the name PTFE before? Haven't we talked about this on our podcast?
Oh, yes, we have. PTFE is more commonly known by the generic trademark Teflon. You know, we did a whole episode on nonstick pans.
Oh, yes. We asked if Teflon pans were safe or not.
Exactly. It's a good episode.
So what's the link between the two? How was Gore-Tex discovered?
So there was a company called W.L. Gore and Associates, started in 1958 by someone named Bill Gore and his wife Viva in their basement. It is kind of like the one of the great American startup stories. You know, Bill had basically spent 16 years at DuPont up until that point, but he had left to pursue an idea of his own for making electronic ribbon cable for use in computers that was insulated with PTFE. One of the key processes involved was actually suggested by their son, Bob Gore, who was at the time just a sophomore in college.
Ah, interesting. So Bob Gore was the one with the invention, but their first product wasn't even Gore-Tex then.
Oh, no, no. Gore-Tex came like 10 years later. It was in 1969 when Bob Gore, the son, was trying to stretch heated rods of PTFE. And Bob Gore's discovery of, you know, the right conditions for stretching PTFE was kind of an accident, but one that turned out pretty well, even if it was originally born partly out of frustration. So instead of slowly stretching the heated material, he applied this sudden and accelerated, you know, yank. Mm. And the solid PTFE unexpectedly stretched about 800%.
Mm.
That's a lot. Forming basically this kind of super micro porous structure that was about like 70% air. And it was this micro porous structure that's now what we know as a trademark brand Gore-Tex.
So what is it exactly that makes it better than other rainwear?
So before the introduction of Gore-Tex, the simplest sort of rainwear would consist of this two-layer sandwich, where the outer layer would typically be woven nylon or polyester to provide strength, and the inner one would be like a polyurethane to provide water resistance. But this polyurethane layer came at the cost of breathability. Now, what they did was use Gore-Tex fabric to take place in the inner layer of non-breathable, you know, polyurethane with a thin membrane coating that's kind of bonded to a fabric. And unbelievably, this membrane had about like 9 billion pores per square inch. So really the whole magic of this is that each pore is approximately 1/20,000th the size of a water droplet.
Wow, that's small.
So this makes it impenetrable to liquid water, but at the same time, allowing the more volatile water vapor molecules, you know, from your body to pass through it.
Very interesting. Now, the outer layer of Gore-Tex also seems special.
Yes, yes. The outer layer of Gore-Tex fabric is coated on the outside with a durable water repellent treatment, which is actually marketed with the initials DWR. So this DWR prevents the main outer layer from becoming wet, which would reduce the breathability of the whole fabric.
So does the DWR itself make the jacket waterproof then?
No, no, it doesn't. The DWR is not responsible for the jacket itself being waterproof, but without the DWR, the outer layer would kind of become soaked. So then, you know, there's kind of no breathability there. You know, your sweat on the inside would fail to evaporate, leading it to just always kind of feeling really damp. The company Gore requires all garments made from their material to have taping over the seams to eliminate any risk, any leaks.
So doesn't this outer layer, the DWR, degrade over time with washing?
It is true that over time, you know, normal wear and tear and other aspects of cleaning will reduce the performance of Gore-Tex fabric by kind of wearing away this DWR treatment. But what most people don't know is that the DWR can be reinvigorated by tumble drying the garment or even just kind of ironing it on a lower setting.
Oh, that's interesting and a bit counterintuitive. So the proper care for your Gore-Tex raincoat is actually putting it in the washing machine and also the dryer so that the heat can restore its waterproof quality.
Yep, that's right.
Now, Gore-Tex isn't just used for rain jackets, is it?
That's a good point. Gore-Tex is also used internally in a whole number of medical applications because it is nearly completely inert inside the body. And also, again, that porosity of Gore-Tex allows the body's own tissue to kind of grow through the material.
The Gore family has also turned out to be quite a colorful one.
Oh, yes. Yes, there's some fun history and drama there. Bob Gore's stepson is Chris Coons, who you might recognize as United States Senator from Delaware. And Sally Coons was Bob Gore's third wife. And she was also a divorced mother of three boys. So one of those boys being Chris Coons. And Chris Coons actually worked for several years as an in-house legal counsel for the Gore & Associates company.
And then finally, there was some drama with the family when Bob Gore's mother passed away.
Yes. So when the matriarch passed away, it was Bob Gore's sister, Susan Gore, was one of five children who were heirs to the company their parents had started. What happened was she attempted to adopt her 65-year-old ex-husband, believe it or not. So try to adopt her 65-year-old ex-husband in order to gain a greater share of the inheritance. I guess just due to the way the estate was planned. And this scheme all came to light when, you know, the mother passed away in 2005, and there was even a whole lawsuit about it.
Oh, wow. Did you learn something new? If you did, send us an email. We are at eli5thepodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, especially when you have comments and suggestions for us. If you are a regular listener of this podcast, please do take the time to go leave us a review or a rating on Apple iTunes, because it helps other listeners to find this podcast. As always, thank you to the community at r/explainlikeim5, and we will see you all next week.